It is sexy time in Washington right now. By the way, our alternative fact for this half hour of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis is that the Chicago Bears finished the season at 13-3 and chose not to participate in the playoffs because Jay Cutler wanted to learn how to surf.
I thought it was how to yacht, but okay, that totally makes sense. That's a great fact.
There is
an
your
alternative fact.
That is your alternative fact from the Rokan Show. You're welcome.
Sure. Thanks.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's exactly what happened.
It's understandable.
Right, because they are the all great and mighty Chicago Bears.
Well, and we just saw all the Twitter pictures where they were on that yacht. So, I mean, if you were to put all the pieces together,
yes,
exactly.
That's what happened.
Yes. Except that's,
I mean, we're not trying to lie to anyone. We're just giving alternative facts.
Right. This is what happened.
That's right. Hmm.
It's just as true as true.
Except for it's
totally true.
Alternative.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty truthy.
Exactly. Truthy.
It's like alternative rock. I mean, it's still rock, but it's
here's what. Let me tell you what is true. A.B. Stoddard is standing by.
She's
from Real Clear Politics. She's on the super celebrity hotline, and she's all the above.
She is.
A.B., you've been around a little bit. You've seen this Washington dance before. It was a bad weekend, bad opening weekend, but it did just happen over the weekend. Today, big recovery, I think, not only for Sean Spicer, who's a really respected guy in the press corps, because you saw a lot of people, even at the cable networks, like trying to bend over backwards and go, hey, this is not the Sean Spicer we know.
Yeah, I've known Sean a very, very long time. He is a really good guy. And he's done a good job in all of the jobs that I've known him in government. And he's built up some good credibility. I think he had a really good recovery today. For many reasons, he addressed it head on. He said, you know, we're going to try to, you know, we don't want to lie, we want to tell the truth. There was some wiggling on disagreeing on the facts or the truth, but he basically revealed in his long explanation of the frustration within the Trump team why his boss becomes so upset and so frustrated about the narrative that he believes, you know, he sees in the media undercutting his victories and his support. I think also Sean was very, you know, very well prepared and smart on a range of topics today. He stayed a very long time, took all the questions, and I just think he really recovered from what was a disaster over the weekend of his boss sending him out on the first full day as president to lie to cameras about things that were demonstrably false, not put out a statement, not put out a tweet, lie to cameras. And I think that what it did to Trump and what it did to Sean Spicer will be recorded by history on their first weekend in that office as a really disappointing and disturbing event.
Well, I want to go back to the idea of the president here, because I think I speak for a lot of Americans when I say I look around at the people around the president, whether it's the vice president or whether it's you know, the people in his national security phalanx or the people in some of the other places that he's placed. I mean, not every one of the cabinet picks is stellar, but there are a lot of good choices. And what I'd really like the president to do is get back down to Mar-a-Lago and stay there for a couple of months and you know, stay away from the cameras and make some calls and visit and, you know, have the business people. Like, he had these meetings today with business executives and union leaders and all these other people. They come into the office. They want to meet with them. That's great. Just do that down at Mar-a-Lago and leave all the business up in Washington, which is exactly the opposite of what the president's core supporters want. Right. They want somebody to basically just hit the plunger on this thing and take out Washington as best they can.
The thing about Trump, and I agree with you, I think, you know, largely Democrats and Republicans, Democrats will only admit it privately, are all really relieved about the Trump cabinet pick. They all seem to be on this planet. They understand the threat of Russia. Everyone's pretty on board with NATO, the importance of our alliances, and on and on. So you see a high comfort level there. And I think that people do believe that Mike Pence and Ryan Priebus and people around Trump are grown-ups. However, he does fuel feuding factions. And so we know because they leak that they turn on each other. This group leaks. a lot. Apparently, in the New York Times, Trump was ready to throw Sean Spicer under the bus on day two, saying that even he thought he did a terrible job when it was clear he sent him out there.
No, that's awful, isn't
Trump
it?
Is awful.
Trump is not going to go to Mar-a-Lago and disappear because Trump is in a TV show, and he wants to be. Newt Gingrich was quoted in a piece Fred Barnes wrote in the Weekly Standard last week as saying that offense is precious to Trump. He wakes up every morning thinking how he can be on offense. So he will always be picking a fight, and he will always, always be looking for a foil. And right now, because no Hillary and Obama as foils, the media is the foil. And so he's going to wake up every day and fight the media and pick fights because he likes the attention. He likes to be front and center. He likes chaos. He likes drama. And he likes a fight. But the problem with the crowd size preoccupation is that we would have all moved on to a trip to the CIA, which he could have done on teleprompter, but he didn't. And we would have moved on to the call with Netanyahu and the scheduled visit with Theresa May and all of this business that was going on, executive orders, swearing in of staff, all the busy, frenzy pace of real governance and process that was necessary would have been the focus of the news coverage. People would have moved off of the crowd picks from Friday compared to 2009 and 2009 and 2013 and the mall shots and everything. And we would have moved on, but he went to the CIA and told the CIA that the media lied about his crowds and there were 1 to 1.5 million people on the mall. Right. So Trump's not going to go hide at Mar-a-Lago and chill out and delegate. He's not going to.
But do you think this changes anything, AB, going forward? I saw Ari Fleischer talking about being in that role and speaking to how difficult it is sometimes to walk that line between reflecting the views of the administration, but then still providing actual facts to reporters and not lying to them, that you need that relationship in order to be respectful of a free press in America, if nothing else. But that it seemed over the weekend Sean Spicer was delivering such a prepared statement from Trump directly, you think he'll back off of doing that? Sean Spicer, you would think, would have to push back a little bit after sort of being humiliated over that.
I think what happened was Sean Spicer was directed by Trump to go out and do it. You saw how kind of
nervous he was.
Sean was.
Yeah.
And he knew it was going to be a disaster, and it was. And then I think other people on the Trump team said, that was really a mistake. Let's send Sean out on Monday to walk it back. Let's change the topic as soon as possible. Let's have all these meetings. Let's get going. Let's get look really focused and move past this. And I think there was just a universal, consensus that it was a disaster.
Yeah.
And so
that's good.
That was lucky for Sean. But next time, if he's willing to say, I'm not going to do this again, mm-hmm. That's really hard. And it really slashes your credibility if your boss sends you out to do that.
Well,
and you don't resign.
There's also something that we learned the night of the inauguration or the weekend of the inauguration about Kellyanne Conway and Donald Trump's relationship with her. He said this when he introduced her in the dinner the night before the inauguration. He said, I send her out. I say everybody's afraid to do things, and she goes, I'll do it. And that's what you saw Sunday when she went on the Sunday morning show. I was like, yeah, watch me. All right, Sean, learn a little something from this. And then she stepped in it with the alternative facts thing, which now places a branding, which they did not want, on the administration that they are willing to intentionally deceive. Let me ask you very quickly here, too. There was something else that happened at the CIA that no one is talking about that I think is the single most important thing that came out of that, not the crowd size. Was he talked about Iraq, and he said to the CIA, the 200 people there in Iraq, he said, we should have taken the oil in Iraq, which he said on the campaign. And then he said, and Bob Baer mentioned this on CNN, the former CIA guy, he said, well, maybe we'll get another chance at it.
Maybe you'll get another chance, yeah. And then Sean was asked about that today, and he said he can't discuss, of course he can't discuss it, but And you can't say, obviously, you can't come out and say, we're never going to do that. But there has never been anyone in Trump's universe that has stood up and backed up this premise. Not any of the generals he's aligned with or briefed by or advised by. None of the people none of the supporters of Trump who on policy, none of the people close to him have ever said that this is a realistic idea. This is the most out there concept. And you're right. I mean, he created a firestorm that kind of drowned that out. But it is a weird thing of Trump's where he thinks that we can go in to a sovereign nation. It would require, obviously, a full-scale ground invasion. And would be entirely, it would be an entire break with the premise of everything we've ever done, which is to spread democracy and peace.
No imperial power in the last 150 years has done that.
It's the most bizarre thing.
Right. I mean, it is. It's true. It's just not. You know, they call it the spoils of war. Remember, he said that actually during the campaign. Well, no, they don't.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Everything he knows about war, he learned from Turner Classic Movies, and that is not the way to, you know, that's not the way to go. All right, AB, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.